Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charter. Purdue's spring practice, maybe the most critical one of Jeff Brohm's tenure, is in the books with the Boilermakers wrapping up in mid-March. What do we know? And maybe more importantly, what do we not know? That and some basketball on Golden Black Radio. Kyle Charter's here with Tom Deanhart to talk a little bit of football. Here we are in late March. It is all wrapped up. Tom, I think there are, you know, as we look at this, questions that we feel like we have decent answers to, but maybe more so, a lot of questions that will remain here over the next several months as we get set for the start of the 2021 season. Let's talk first about some of the answers or the questions that we feel like do have some answers. And I think you have to start with the offensive line, right? I mean, while there might be some shuffling still of some guys along that offensive line, it's probably the best we have felt about the O-line. And I was trying to think about this. Like, how long has it been since you really felt good about Purdue's offensive line? It seems like it's been at least a decade. But this one has a chance to be pretty good.
Yeah, you're right, Kyle. Really, I know Jeff Brohm thinks the best line he's had during his Purdue tenure is the one that you were a part of covering in 2017. His very first line that year brought in Dave Steinmetz, remember the tackle from Rhode Island. Yeah. Brought in Shane Evans from Northern Illinois. Still had Kirk Barron as well. Matt McCann, Grant Hermans. He liked that line quite a bit. But he does think the line 2020-21 has more depth than any line that he's had during his, four-plus seasons in West Lafayette. So that's a good start. More bodies who are capable of playing if need be. Like you said, it could still be some shuffling, but I tell you what, the projected starting five I have, at least I feel comfortable with. But as you know, Kyle, things can look great in practice, but you really don't know what you got until you're lining up against somebody else. But at least right now, coming out of spring ball, you're right. The line has some potential, and that's very good news for an offense. It's got to find a way to run the football better.
Yeah, that's for sure. Maybe the one thing you'd like is a little bit more experience at the critical spots on that line, it being at left tackle and at center, right? I mean, you feel good about the talent there, but perhaps if you were – to play football in an ideal situation, which almost never happens. But if you were, maybe you'd have talented guys there that were also somewhat experienced.
You're right. And, again, just my projected line is left to right. I got Cram Craig at left tackle, Spencer Holstead at left guard. I've got Gus Hartwood penciled in center. I think that's where he's going to land. Tyler Witt, the Western Kentucky transfer at right guard. And Greg Long, a right tackle. Greg Long, of course, coming back as a super senior, was a nice surprise for the Boilermakers. They really were surprised by how well he played last year, to be honest with you, Kyle. Coming from UTEP, played pretty well, and to have him as an anchor up front, it's very good. But, he's obviously, like I said, a super senior. The only other, I guess, senior that could play is Sam Garvin, who started at center last year. But, again, I think Cam Craig is going to unseat him. Be the guy making snaps this year. But you're right, overall, Kyle, not a lot of senior talent on that line.
Yeah. Let's flip to the other side and talk a little bit about the defense, especially early on in the spring. It seemed like Jeff Brohm was pretty happy with what he was getting from the defense, wants it to be more aggressive, wants it to make a little bit more sense given Purdue's personnel. It seemed like it was a productive spring from that standpoint, right? Well, there might be some questions about the depth or – about the secondary, at least from a personnel point of view and how it suits what Purdue has, this seems like a defense that could have more success.
Yeah, I think that the talent is does have potential. And like you said, philosophically, really going back, to be honest with you, Kyle, it's really more what Nick Holt did when he was a coordinator. The scheme is going to be very similar with the Leo position resurrected. And the same aggressiveness, too, that was missing last year under Bob Diaco's more bend-but-don't-break scheme. Jeff, like you said, has said time and again, they want to be more aggressive. They want to take chances. They want to make plays. And so, again, it's going to be exciting from that standpoint with a new coordinator, Brad Lambert. Heck, really, Kyle, a new staff from front to back on defense. They still have to hire a replacement for Anthony Poindexter. That could happen any time now, I think. But, again, so much is new on that defense. And I tell you what, to me, the great starting point are going to be the guys off the edge, DeMarcus Mitchell, Leo, and George Karlaftis, and Kyle. I think that's going to be a heck of a tandem. I think Anthony Watts and Lawrence Johnson would be nice anchors on the inside at tackle. You need some more depth at safety. But I really think they helped themselves at cornerback. You know, this offseason they're going to bring in two transfers from the SEC, C.J. McWilliams from Florida and Jamari Brown from Kentucky to go along with Corey Trice, Cedric Mackey, and Giovanni Howard. So the safety spot's been bolstered. And Kyle Lashley, the guy who maybe had the most buzz this spring, was O.C. Brothers, another transfer. This kid was an Auburn transfer, a linebacker. Jeff Brom, time and again, really talked about O.C. Brothers and how well he's played. He's going to be a nice fixture linebacker with Smisi Fakasiecki and Jalen Alexander in particular, so some potential linebacker as well.
Yeah, maybe the guy that got the biggest buzz at all isn't all that big a surprise, but that's Big George Karlaftis.
Yeah.
I think both of you and I, independently heard from people who are at practice regularly, which isn't a very high number of people, but that he was really good, like unblockably good, if that's even the way you can say it, that he was hard to keep out of Purdue's backfield. He's healthy. He wasn't healthy last year for a couple of reasons, the ankle and then COVID. He's also entering his third year post-high school, which means that if he wanted to, he could leave early after this year. I think it would take a big season. I don't think there's any doubt that he's destined to be playing on Sundays, you know, given good health and all of that, of course. But he needs a good year, you know, just in terms of staying healthy and being productive, and maybe it would help if the officials would recognize that he gets held on every play. But we both heard that he was really good in the spring, and Purdue certainly needs that.
Yeah, you're exactly right. He's, like you said, unblockable were the same words used to me to describe number five this spring. And, again, him, DeMarcus Mitchell, and Jalen Graham, those are your big three on defense. Of course, Jalen Graham being a linebacker, I didn't mention it earlier. So, again, they've got some building blocks there on defense. You know, they did have several guys out. You know, Jalen Alexander was out this spring. And the two projected starting tackles, Watson and Lawrence Johnson, were also out. The projected starting safeties, Marvin Grant, Cam Allen, they were out as well. Sanusi Kane was banged up. So, again, there are a lot of guys missing. But when they get everybody healthy on that field this fall in training camp in August, it's going to be fun to see how they're all clicking together because, again, there is some nice potential there.
Another answer, I think, is at wide receiver. I think once Purdue gets healthy at wide receiver, it will be, you know, good to go still at that position, even though it loses the playmaker and Rondale Moore. There are some other guys that, you know, we just haven't seen a whole lot of yet that Purdue feels like it can turn to be, you know, playmakers again for Purdue's offense.
Yeah, you know, you talk about surprises defensively, which we just did. Two of the biggest surprises offensively were wide receivers, T.J. Sheffield and Mershon Rice. Both came in the class of 2019. Both have used a redshirt year. T.J. Sheffield, we saw sort of break out as a return man last year. Again, that was the guy Jeff Brom heaped a lot of praise on this spring. Also talked about Mershon Rice in glowing terms on occasion as well, a bigger receiver, 6'2". And you couple those two with Milton Wright, David Bell, who both were out this spring, and that's a pretty nice foursome. You got a wide receiver, right? Jackson Anthrop, of course, is back as a super senior. We always want to underestimate and write him off, but you know he's going to contribute some way, somehow, for this football team. And again, like you said, Kyle, the receiving core, even without Rondale Moore, I think there's going to be some nice targets for that Purdue quarterback to throw to.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, there's still some guys out there that the quarterback, and that's an unanswered question that we'll get to here in a moment, will be able to target. You know, it seems to me that you mentioned that the transfers earlier and the number that Purdue has gotten here already during this offseason. It sort of reminds of Jeff Brom's first season at Purdue, right? In that I think there were a half a dozen transfers that year that made significant impacts on Purdue being able to get back to the postseason so quickly in that season. It does feel a little bit like that, right? That Purdue has put such a high priority on getting instant impact transfers who you would think, and Purdue hopes, will come in and be able to get Purdue back to the postseason once again.
Yeah, it's sort of like NFL teams signing free agents, guys who are known commodities, guys who have already developed in the weight room that are older, that you know could be plug-and-play guys. So you're right. Purdue has leaned heavily on those guys. They're building this 2021 roster. Again, we talked defensively about O.C. Brothers, a linebacker from Auburn, the two cornerbacks, the Kentucky kid, the Florida kid, Brown and McWilliams. Didn't mention Joe Anderson earlier, the South Carolina transfer, who's the defensive end, who had his moments this spring as well. And Tyler Witt, the guard I talked about off the top, he's supposed to be the strongest offensive lineman Purdue has. So you're right. And they're not done yet either, buddy. We all expect Purdue to add help at defensive tackle through the portal, a kid from Air Force. That could happen at any point. Now, who knows, Kyle, they may add help at safety, maybe kicker. I know that staff is always looking for good football players. What staff isn't, right? So if they find somebody, I think regardless of position, they think can help them, that person could be added. So this is a roster that's going to continue to be under construction probably all the way throughout the summer.
Let's use that to jump into some of those unanswered questions that remain here during the off season. I think perhaps, well, there a lot of these are big ones. Aside, let's set the QB aside for a second. Depth in the secondary, particularly at safety. Purdue has a need there. Not only who the starters will be, I think we could make some guesses on that perhaps. There are a couple young guys who I like. But there's not a lot of experience there, and there's not a lot of depth. That's a pretty big question at a spot where you want some guys to be able to make some plays.
Yeah, you're right. I'm working on a projected post-spring defensive depth chart as we speak. I'm going to post today. And well, once you get past Cam Allen and Marvin Grant, there's a steep fall-off. Again, Sanusi Kane will be a redshirt freshman. He's a guy I think the staff likes a lot. Played a lot of special teams last year, has a lot of potential at safety, but again, he's still young. Of course, an X factor, Kyle. Remember Antonio Stevens, who suffered that horrible knee injury in the finale against Nebraska, had to be carted off the field. That was a kid who was playing probably as many defensive snaps as any true freshman last year, a player I know the staff likes a lot. But will he be able to get back on the field in 2021? Stay tuned again. He's a kid I know they like a lot, could certainly use. And like you said, Kyle, a safety spot that lacks a lot of proven depth. And again, as I said moments ago, that could be a position where maybe Purdue adds help via the portal.
You need playmakers up the middle, need them at safety, you need them at linebacker. You mentioned O.C. Brothers being a guy that they have some high hopes for, but they've got some other guys who are experienced there, but I just don't know that they have playmakers there, right? I mean, they have guys that make some plays, but I mean like guys who make difference-making type plays at linebacker. That to me seems like a pretty big question.
Yeah, I think maybe Brothers could help him there, and Jalen Graham too. He transitioned from safety to linebacker last year, and maybe in year two being primarily a linebacker, he develops into a guy who can make some plays at that position. Boy, he looks the part. Boy, you walk by Jalen Graham, you talk to him, he's an imposing physical specimen. He's big, he can run. Now he has, like I said, a year under his belt. Linebacker, maybe he's a guy that can develop into a playmaker there. And who knows, Kyle, fingers are crossed for Yanni Karlaftis too, the four-star recruit from West Lafayette.
Yeah.
Didn't get to practice this spring, came to campus early, had a hamstring issue when he arrived, was unable to get on the field. Again, the thought was, I think, going back to a year ago, that he was going to come and probably start, right? But, again, he's got some work to make up. And who knows, if he can accelerate his skill set, maybe he's a guy that can get on the field and help them this fall.
That hamstring thing, man, I mean, he played a little bit in the first game last fall and then didn't over that hamstring. And now, you know, still missing the spring. It's a I don't know if I get overly concerned about hamstrings when we're in March, but it has been a while. So I'd like to see him get over that and get healthy again. Will Purdue run the football next year?
That's the plan, you know. Like I said, you talk to Jeff, and he'll tell you they've made that a big point of emphasis this offseason. We talked about the line. They want to be more physical. The depth, like we said, is better up front. They want to be able to knock people backwards is what a lot of these linemen were talking about this year. And, you know, Kyle, to that point, Purdue has devoted an extra full-time assistant coach to the offensive line. Of course, Neil Callaway has been promoted from senior analyst to assistant offensive line coach. And that's a rare move to see a college program have two full-time assistants devoted to one position. So, again, Purdue just wants more eyeballs and more hands-on during practices working with these guys. So, again, the emphasis continues there. They know the urgency there to run the football. So, like I said, we'll see once you line up against Oregon State, UConn, and Notre Dame coming out of the gate, what type of run game Purdue has and how much that offseason work really has paid off.
All right, give it to me, Tom. Who's the quarterback? Tell me.
I think it's Jack Plummer. I think it's a razor's thin edge between him and O'Connell, with Austin Burton still sort of in the thick of things. But just listening to Jeff Brohm and the need to run the ball better when he talks about quarterback designed runs, boy, that's more up Jack Plummer's bailiwick than Aiden O'Connell. So I think, all things being equal, I think that ability to run the ball with designed runs gives Plummer a slight edge in that quarterback derby.
All right. You're on the record. Right here.
Check back with me September 4th, right?
Yeah, there you go. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring Brian in, talk a little bit of hoops, off-season hoops with him. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's Grill. Visit gridironmetal.com. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, they cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating, with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G, at jfqlending.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brohm Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
And Kyle here with Brian to talk a little bit of off-season basketball. Unfortunately for Purdue, off-season here came a little bit earlier than what was expected. Brian, Purdue will get a year older. That just happens with time, but you do have to put some work in along with that to get a year better. What are some of the this is a wide-ranging question, I suppose, but what's the big priority for Purdue this offseason?
You can't ask me wide-ranging questions, Kyle, because you know I'll talk for like 25 minutes and completely ruin the show.
Okay, let's narrow it down. Purdue needs to be a better shooting team, right? But it seems to me that it has the personnel to do that. I was always shocked this year when it's like, oh, Purdue went 4-for-17 from three-point range, and you're just like, don't they have better shooters than that? They just have to be a better shooting team, right?
Yeah, no, they absolutely have to be a better shooting team. They've invested too much in three-point shooting. From a personnel perspective, they've made sacrifices at the defensive end of the floor in order to accommodate having shooters on the floor at all times. I think that's something that could turn around relatively quickly. I think that when you look at what Purdue was at the end of the season, I think Jaden Ivey had found a better balance. I think he ended the season shooting pretty well. I think I calculated he was like 37% over the last seven games of the year, something like that. I think his volume was a lead balloon on their percentage for the longest time because he was shooting a lot and he wasn't shooting very well. I think Aaron Wheeler struggles, obviously, weighted their percentage down a little bit. I think that Eric Hunter will shoot better next year than he did this year. I'm not really sure why his percentage dropped the way it did this year. So I think that I don't think any of the guys you bring in next year, barring any sort of surprising transfer, are going to be all that high volume three-point shooters. So I don't think that you have much threshold to stay the same or even get worse. So I think that naturally, if Jaden Ivey shoots better for the whole season, if he shoots for the whole season next year like he did down the stretch, if Eric Hunter is more representative of what Eric Hunter is more capable of and things like that, I think things naturally turn around from a three-point percentage. But obviously Purdue has to keep focusing on the right guys taking the right shots at the right time, the offense operating at a level where Purdue is getting the optimal shots, and its decision-making has to continue to be really good. But I just think Purdue's a much better shooting team than it showed this year, and that could turn around in a big way next season.
Yeah, probably didn't help either that Sasha Stefanovic missed a couple of games, and then when he was back, wasn't quite the same until later in the season.
I was sitting here thinking, you know, there's one more important point I'm forgetting here, and that was it, because if he doesn't deal with what he dealt with and the aftermath of it, his percentage, he's probably a 40, 41, 42% shooter for the season, and Purdue's percentage looks ever so slightly better. If you project that onto an entire season next year, assuming no disruptions next season, that certainly helps too. I mean, you know, it wasn't just the three games he missed, obviously, but he went three straight games or whatever it was not making a three. He was like 0 for double digits, I think, and that obviously weighted his percentage too. So there are some circumstances here in the percentage that I think won't be the case next year either.
Yeah. I like Eric Hunter Jr.'s game. I think he does a lot for Purdue. He's a above average, if not even better than that, defensive player. His offense, though, was, you know, sort of up and down throughout the season, and we expected it to be up more than what it was this year. He'll certainly take a lot of motivation into the offseason. How important is it, you know, that he sort of bounces back from what was not a bad year, but an up and down year this last season?
Yeah, I don't think people will disagree with me here, I'm sure, but I don't think Purdue needs him to score as much as people might think. I think they need him to make great decisions, and they need him to make open shots. And they need him to be a threat. You know, the one thing, you know, after the North Texas game, it seemed to be a referendum on playing through the post in the court of public opinion, as if Travion Williams and Zach Edey took every shot Purdue attempted this season. Jaden Ivey became a star late in the season, and he occupied a lot of oxygen from an offensive perspective. So I think you achieve offensive balance from your backcourt simply through Jaden Ivey becoming what Jaden Ivey became. We just talked about the three-point shooting all across the board, having to get better. I think if Eric Hunter is just an opportunist, is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
If he's just opportunistic, he makes more open threes, and he makes some more plays when the shot clock went kind of when plays break down, so to speak, when he does a little bit more from a tempo perspective, if he attacks in the open floor a little bit more and steals a couple points here and there and gets you 8 to 10 points a game next year, that's perfectly fine. You know, Purdue can absolutely win with that. But the most important thing for Eric Hunter is just to make the open shots that are there, to take his opportunities and make great decisions. And but I do expect him to shoot much better next season than he did this year. I don't know why he didn't shoot better than he did this season. I don't know if the injury set him back. It certainly couldn't have helped. I don't know if there was a dynamic there where he was trying to find his place once Jaden Ivey had become such a highly influential, high usage player. I have no idea, but I think he'll be a better player next year offensively than he was this year. And obviously he's a really important player defensively. I think he's a lot better than above average from a defensive perspective. I think he is one of the best defensive players in the Big Ten and should have been recognized for it.
Got just a couple of minutes left here. Aaron Wheeler departs. You know, you'd like to see him hit more three-pointers, but I loved the way he played with energy and rebounded. I thought he defended better over the last half of this last season. So he's gone. Will Purdue recruit a transfer? Would they welcome one? Is that even on the radar, or do you think Purdue's pretty comfortable with its roster as it goes forward?
I would be astonished if it's not comfortable with its roster moving forward. Obviously, Aaron Wheeler's position, a large part of the reason I'm sure Aaron Wheeler left was because, you know, minutes were going to be hard to come by next season with Trey Kaufman-Wren and Caleb First coming in, and obviously Mason Gillis having established himself as Purdue's starter and a really important player for this team. If Purdue goes for a transfer, I think it would be more geared toward the backcourt than the frontcourt. And I think that, A, if you're going to go find a transfer, you have to be dead certain that that player is better than what you have. If somebody who can come in and help a really good and really established team. Two, knowing Matt Painter the way I know Matt Painter, he's going to be super mega sensitive, to the I don't know how many superlatives I can put on that. He's going to be super sensitive to team chemistry. Obviously, this team has a chance to grow into a great team just organically, and he's not going to want to bring in, you know, what I like to call an invasive species that might mess with your team chemistry and set you back in that regard. Purdue's track record with transfers, you know, isn't exactly glowing. They've had good players before, but I don't know if the fits have always been natural from day one. And the last thing you want to do is set this team's progress off by bringing in something that might disrupt it ever so slightly. I'm not necessarily saying a bad kid or a selfish kid, but just something that's going to take time to iron out. Three, you're still dealing with the realities of pandemic recruiting here, where it's all kind of this big speed dating sort of situation here. You don't get to know people when you recruit them. You can't have them on campus. You can't look them in the eye. You can't shake their hand. That's a factor here too. I would be surprised if Purdue got somebody, you know, really, really notable. But it wouldn't shock me if they added somebody. I don't know if they'll bend over backwards to add somebody. I mean, if they ever were in that situation, it would have been last year, and they didn't bend over backwards to add somebody. So I could see it going either way, but I'd be a little bit surprised if they added somebody. I'd be really surprised if they added somebody particularly influential, but I could be wrong.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Right, man. Out of time.
Yep.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. I'll put a wrap on this one here in just a moment on Gold Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Golden Black Radio, also brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Be sure to check out homefieldapparel.com. That'll do it for Golden Black Radio.